Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life in Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get notebook, paper, and a pen for later on the show. First, let's look at some debt-related news and facts for the week. The $27 billion London-based investment fund, Sigma Finance Corp, is facing imminent liquidation after a sharp fall in the value of its investments, which included Lehman Brothers debt. Forced to default on its borrowing agreements because of the drop in value, investors in the fund's debt-holding paper could be left with as little as 15 cents on the dollar, and banks that lend to Sigma will be able to sell $25 billion in collateral, adding to credit market pain. A list of Sigma assets has already circulated amongst potential buyers to start getting a sense of their worth. Sigma is the last major survivor of the structured investment vehicles breed of investment fund. U.S. car sales fell 27% in September to 965,000 vehicles, that is, a 15-year low. Seasonally adjusted, annual sales stand at just 12.5 million, down from 16.19 million a year ago. Of note was the weak performance by Japanese firms, until now somewhat shielded from U.S. carnage. Toyota's sales fell 32.3%, Honda's dropped 24%, and Nissan's plunged 37%. Among Big Detroit 3, Ford's sales fell 34%, Chrysler's 33%, while GM fared the best, losing just 15.8%, possibly a result of aggressive incentives and a move to boost less profitable fleet sales. GM sales chief Mark Leneve was realistic about the firm's standout performance. Quote, a few days ago, I would have jumped out the window with these numbers, and we're on the 39th floor here. From an article by Kim Peterson, the best temp gig in history. Congress wants to crack down on CEO mega salaries for banks participating in the bailout. And while politicians argue how best to do that, Alan Fishman of Washington Mutual is headed for the doors with $19 million in his pocket. If that wasn't enough or outrageous enough, consider this. Fishman started the job 3 weeks ago. I never saw the employment ad Fishman answered, but it must have read something like this. Wanted, top executive for Trainwreck Bank about to be seized by federal regulators. Must be able to look busy while FDIC sells business from under you. Previous experience with angry shareholders sitting on worthless stock, a plus. Perks, $7.5 million hiring bonus and $11.6 million cash severance. So Fishman got the best temp gig in history. He gets to keep the bonus and severance pay, though he must stay on the job while JP Morgan Chase completes its purchase of Washington Mutual's banking assets. To be fair, Fishman wasn't the one that took WaMu down a path lined with toxic mortgages and other bad assets. No, that role belonged to former CEO Kerry Killinger, who received $54 million over 5 years before leaving earlier this month. He's eligible for around $20 million in severance pay. Other execs are also cashing in big. President Stephen Rotella gets $12.7 million in cash if he's terminated or quits with good reason, according to the Portland Business Journal. and CFO Thomas Casey would get a cash severance of $6.3 million. And WaMu shareholders got huge payments of, wait, the stock is worthless. Shareholders got wiped out. And from an editorial in the New York Times called Show Us the Hope, falling house prices are driving the collapse of the financial system. But the bailout bill, even the sweetened version that was approved by the Senate Wednesday night this week, does little to avert the defaults and foreclosures that are pushing house values ever downward. At last count, 6 million people were expected to default on their mortgages this year and next, putting them at risk of losing their homes unless they can catch up in their payments or catch or break on their long terms. And they're not the only ones at risk. As prices dropped, millions of people who have never missed a mortgage payment stand to lose their home equity. Leaving these Americans out of the bailout bill is unfair and unwise, but neither Congress nor the Bush administration has ever shown anywhere near the sense of urgency to rescue homeowners at the bottom of the collapse as they have for the financiers at the top of it. Take, for example, a new government program that took effect on Wednesday with the aim of helping as many as 400,000 struggling homeowners keep their homes. Even before it got started, the program, called Hope for Homeowners, was looking like a lead balloon. Under the program, the government will insure up to $300 billion in new, more affordable loans for troubled borrowers. For the insurance to kick in, however, lenders must first voluntarily refinance the delinquent mortgages by reducing the loan balances to 90% of the home's current value. In exchange, lenders would avoid the expense of foreclosure and uncertainty about being repaid. The government would stem the social and economic damage of more foreclosures at presumably little risk to taxpayers. There's one problem, however. At a congressional hearing in September, lenders were lukewarm about participating in the new program, reluctant, it seems, to take the loss that comes with reducing loan balances. The lenders, including J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and City Mortgage, a unit of Citigroup, all said they were taking other steps to help troubled borrowers, like reducing a loan's interest rate or extending its term. That's helpful. But the industry's efforts don't go far enough. Defaults and foreclosures continue to outstrip efforts to rework bad loans. As home prices fall, the most effective modification is to reduce the loan balance. Otherwise, borrowers are in the position of repaying a loan higher than the value of the property. That burden can become unbearable when combined with unemployment or reduced work hours or unexpected expenses like medical bills. There are two sides to the mortgage mess. The mortgage industry, in pursuit of upfront fees, deliberately made loans to people who could not afford the payments over time. They justify their actions on the self-serving and unsound basis that rising home values would forever postpone a day of reckoning. Many borrowers, naively, foolishly, or selfishly, took on those loans. Yet, well over a year into the housing bust, the mortgage industry still calls the shots as if it is a victim of the borrowers. Congress could change that dynamic by amending the bankruptcy code to allow the court to modify troubled mortgages. But lawmakers still are afraid to hold the industry accountable. Instead, they are offering hope for homeowners that looks to be anything but. And as a bankruptcy attorney dealing on a national listserv with many, many attorneys across the country, this idea of workouts is very, very limited, if not non-existent. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and a Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So now let's continue this week with the idea of building your future by paying off your past that we have been looking at in the last several weeks. And as always, an important credit goes to Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tiaki, two of America's leading champions for debtors. The thoughts, ideas, and examples used in this presentation are from or based on the work, theories, and books of Professor Warren and her daughter, and I highly recommend their books, All You're Worth and The Two Income Trap. I'll start with a recap of last week's show. You can also go to the archives at www.kruufm.com, Life and Debt, and visit past shows so you can get a full sense of what this program is about. Last week we talked about splurge debts, and we actually took a little self-test. We can recapitulate that by just going over it. This is a true and false test. If I really, really want something I can't afford, I just put it on the credit card or sign up for a payment plan. Just answer true or false. I really don't know how I ended up with so much debt. If I didn't have a credit card in my pocket, I would probably buy a lot less stuff. My credit card balance usually goes up on the holidays. I made a big purchase, example, new TV, vacation, or furniture, for something that I really wanted, and I'm still paying it off. It is harder to say no to someone I care about when I have a credit card in my wallet. Sometimes I charge things, and then I later think, what could I have been thinking? I didn't need this. So answer true or false to those questions. And if you check true for two or more of these statements, you have a problem with splurge charging. You're a person who is struggling to deal with the wants category, which we discussed in detail in the past. The things that you want, the fun kind of extra money besides your bare necessities. And you need to focus on your budget and get away from this splurging and deal with paying off your debt from the past so you can build some real wealth in your life. And as we said, if you're worried about slipping back into splurging, because that seems to be a psychological habit that you have, it's a good idea to cut up those credit cards and to get rid of them. It's not that they are the whole problem, but they certainly add to the problem. They offer a constant temptation to overspend and a needless complication. So just cut them up and throw them away. We also discussed how debt isn't really very polite. It doesn't wait for one problem to pass before another piles on. So you can be having problem with out of balance borrowing, legacy debt, and of course the splurge debts that we just discussed. And these are the three areas of debt. And remember that you need to look at the wholeness of the situation, and you have to really start thinking that the debt does stop here, and no debt, no more, no matter what, is really your goal and the thought that you hold. There is a group called Debtors Anonymous, and they say that you have to take one day at a time. Don't worry about next month or next year or the rest of your life. Just think about today. Get those basics, the bare necessities, the roof over your head, food in your cupboard, clothes on your back. And you have now the spending plan that we've been going over for weeks and weeks that covers the things that you need, gives you room for something extra, and lets you pay off your debt piece by piece. And all you need to do is to make it through today without taking on any more debt. Now, of course, that's an ideal, and it is an extreme situation, but over time it does get easier if you take that attitude and that practice of stopping making new debt every day. As your money comes back into balance, the everyday stresses start to disappear because this gets easier and you're eventually no longer anxious about it all. You're headed in the right direction and you will be making good progress. And the next thing we needed to do was add up all of these areas to see what your debt is, from your credit cards, the total amount that you owe, and also the minimum monthly payments that you make, and then loans from friends and family, again, total that you owe, minimum monthlies, overdue or back payments on rent or mortgage, utilities, cell phones, car payments, etc., total, and then what you're paying on a monthly. Medical bills, same thing, total, and then the monthly minimum payments, and then other debts that you have that are totaled out, and then the minimum monthly payments, and then you add those all together. And then you take a look at the total amount that you owe. And of course, for most of us, it's going to seem like a big number, and we don't want to panic there. But if you owe more than a year's income in debt, or if your minimum monthly payments claim significantly more than 20% of your income, then you're in a serious financial situation. So at some point, we will go into the financial CPR that is offered by Professor Warren, but that will be for later programs. So now it's time to create your own personal payment plan. And the goal is basically to get your debt paid off as fast as you possibly can. In order to do that, you have to liquidate all of your accounts, savings accounts that is, except for your 401k or IRA, where there's tax penalties, and this is obviously too expensive. And you, of course, want to keep a little cash around and commit everything else to paying off your debts, and that cash there is a safety fund, $1,000 to $2,000. If something comes up that is an emergency, you should have that available. But other than that, it's really time to focus on getting your debts paid off. And that means putting everything you have towards becoming debt free. Now, this may sound a little extreme, but there is no saving for the future when you are carrying a load of debt, which is stealing from tomorrow. If you're in debt and you think your savings account will keep you safe, you're really, practically speaking, just kidding yourself. And this is basically just a mathematical problem. Just take, for example, the small amount of interest that you're earning on your savings account, 3%, 2%, who knows what it is now, could be less. And then while you have your credit card debts, they're costing you somewhere around 18% or more. This means that for every $100 you keep in your savings account, you make $3 in interest, but you lose $18 on your credit card. And as Professor Warren likes to point out, that's why the bank has lots of money and you don't, although now we're seeing that the banks have been playing their own games and a lot of them don't have very much money either, or at least appear not to have that money. And that's another very, very big issue. So the bottom line is that you will be many dollars ahead if you cash out your savings and pay off your credit cards. And don't worry too much about the low bank balance. You'll start rebuilding it soon once the credit cards are paid off and you have money, which is not going to them in large amounts every month. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. And as I want to repeat, you have a little bit of money left over in the bank to cover emergencies, $1,000 or so, $2,000. That really just helps you to keep from sliding back into credit card trap when something does go wrong, which is inevitable for most of us. But one thing that's important, when you do use that money, try to replace that money as soon as possible, too. And another thing to realize is that as you watch your credit card balances go down month after month, there's a huge satisfaction and there is less of an economic pinch that is coming into your life. In fact, quite the opposite. There's a relief that goes along with that. If you have not been listening to the show throughout, you don't really understand where this money is going to come from. We have a formula here for your bare necessities and your fund money or your wants, which is 80% of your take-home pay. And the 20% left over is for savings. And this is the money that you will use to get rid of your debts. It's really that easy, that clean, that simple. Just 20% of each and every paycheck for paying off your debts. No worry, no fighting with your mate, just steady reduction in your debts every single month. And it's really a very simple calculation. Every time you get paid, calculate 20% of your paycheck, multiply your paycheck by 0.2, and then take that amount and put it towards your debts. That's 20%, the 20% towards your debts every single month until all of that debt is gone. And with this savings money, The best formula is to tackle your debts one at a time. And that means you pick out one and you start paying that one off until it's done. And then when that is done completely, you take everything that you have towards your second debt. The important point here, though, and the caveat, is that you have to keep making the bare minimum monthly payments on your other debts. And then your debts will be going out one at a time, and eventually they will all be wiped out if you use this simple formula. And the obvious point is that as you pay off more and more debts, you're freeing up more and more money to pay down the remainder of your debts, and eventually this is all going to be translated into savings and future wealth for you. The next issue is, which debt should I pay first? And the bottom line here essentially is that you pay the debts that bother you most. There is a little bit of a catch here that, of course, maybe being back on your rent payment or your mortgage payment or your car payment or your child support payment isn't bothering you most. But in fact, from a legal perspective, those are incredibly important. You have to pay your mortgage first, your back rent first, because you have to keep that homestead and that house for you and your family. So that's a priority. And then the second priority would be the back payments on your car so you can get to work and take your kids around, or child support so the sheriff doesn't show up. Those are very important debts too. So that's the second level. You got to take care of those first. But then after that, really, the key is to help yourself emotionally also, not just financially. So you pay the debts that bother you most. And there are debts like that for all of us. Debts that make our blood boil with a certain company, or an IOU that is to a family member and it sparks quarrels, or you feel embarrassed about it, or some kind of over-the-limit fee to a credit card company that you have and it's constantly irritating you. These are the ones that you need to catch up. Comparing the interest rates at this level is one issue, and that should be done if we're getting down just to the credit card situation. But also you have to think about how you feel about a certain lender and your relationship to that lender and how you are emotionally taking that. So that is what we consider the debt that bothers you most if it's not in a good category. And so you take care of that first. Again, after you've taken care of your mortgage, rent payments, car payment, child support, those things that are not going to go away. And in addition to that, probably your student loans too. Although with student loans, you can work out with the creditor some arrangements if you're not making that much money. But those are not going to go away either. The next issue is, many people think that they can borrow against their home equity if they own a home to consolidate their debts, lower their interest payments, save money on taxes. These are all very tempting lures that you hear from the companies, but from the point of view of a sophisticated legal community dealing with this, tapping into your equity is really, really a bad idea. At once, you're going deeper into debt, and secondly, you're putting your house at risk. And in the current financial mortgage market, we're seeing how people have done this and have lost everything when they were on originally a fixed rate mortgage and had no concern at all about ever losing or jeopardizing their house, and got into an adjustable rate mortgage, thinking that the housing market was going to remain stable. They went into a lower interest rate, and it was going to be in 2 years that they were going to do it again on that refinancing. And it turns out to have been, and continues to be, in our entire economy, a nightmare that is at the basis of all of the challenges we're seeing in the home industry and beyond. This is really, really dangerous. We don't want to take that cash out of the home equity, and you'll see this as a constant theme to get money from you. They really want to take out your equity and own it. And that means that you're not going to be able to own your home or ever pay that debt back. You never ever want to borrow your way out of debt. And the reason is that you can't. You just cannot borrow your way out of debt ever. And this really violates, this borrowing violates the first principle of debt-free living. You can't borrow your way out of debt. Point number one basically is that home equity loans put your home at risk. You just have to look at the economy, all of the media statistics right now on foreclosures, subprime foreclosures, and debt consolidation loans, all of these. There are so many, such a high percentage of these loans are going into foreclosure. In fact, the risks are greater to lose your home by taking these home equity loans than having a heart attack. Over 10% of the families who believe that they were getting a home equity loan that was going to work for them are now losing their homes. So one out of 10 people losing their homes, the equivalent of one out of 10 people having a heart attack, just think of that. That's quite astronomical. The second point is that you probably will not save as much as you think, or at least as you're being told that you're going to save. And Professor Warren holds this out to be a lose-lose proposition. You're taking a home equity loan to consolidate your debt. The money that you pay for the closing is usually pretty large, and the money you save on interest is usually pretty small. In fact, often less than the fees that you had just paid to set up the loan. And if you can't get your debt paid off within a couple of years, you'll keep paying interest on this loan year after year. And many of these loans last for 15 years, and that's a long time, and you're not helping yourself at all to build a brighter future. Just think, if you can't pay off your credit card balance in 15 years, you have really big financial problems. So you don't want to convert this big financial problem into the home situation, because the last thing you want to do is to put your home on the line. And of course, along with this, if you are already in financial trouble, you're going to be getting a super high cost second mortgage. And like the credit card companies that offer teaser rates to get you into the door, the mortgage companies offer good quotes in the ads and much worse quotes in reality, especially if you have a less than perfect credit history. So for you, it's an absolute. Using a home equity loan will just put your home at risk without saving you much money. You'd be a lot better off just buckling down to pay off the credit card debt while keeping the vultures away from your home. And we'll continue next week with this analysis and looking at home equity in a home sale issue and if that's a reasonable thing to do. Sell your home for its equity. And the final tip for the week is from a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. He says, "Remember, property is intended to serve life, and no matter how much we surround it with rights and respect, it has no personal being. It is part of the earth man walks on. It is not man." So for all of you out there, what counts most are the people involved, you, the people around you, and your well-being. Not just financial, but emotional and psychological well-being. It's the people that count. Your life, your personal relationships, and your health. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous, debt-manageable life.